Good evening, everybody. Welcome to another Friday night hangout brought to you by the Craft Beer Nation. Almost lost my train of thought, but as a professional, I kept it moving and then mentioned that I kept it moving after I almost lost my train of thought.
And you're still talking about it.
Tonight we are going to be delving into the world of lagers, for better or for worse. That's what we're talking about. It's not as bad as it seems. You got a lot of options, right? So there was a little bit of talk earlier this week about how we had to be creative with this to try to make it interesting. But then the more I thought about it, I was like, well, man, there's a lot of lager options out there that are enjoyable. Even for people who claim they don't like lagers, there's an option out there for you. So hopefully we'll get into some of that tonight. But before we do, want to remind you, hit us up at craftbeernation.beer. You can reach us on all of our social media platforms from that site. Follow us on Twitter at CBNCommunity. Check out some of our other – we have two other shows that are available as podcasts, Pints and Quarts and Mashing Out with the Beer Fairy. So check us out. Listen to our podcast. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. Watch some more videos. So that said, we are joined by a motley crew tonight. We got Ricky Potts, Lola Larracy, Jeffrey J. Davis. We got Freddie coming at us from Boston, as you can tell by his hat. We have Gilles Mello, and we have Chris Phillips. How y'all doing tonight?
It's all good. It's all good. Let's do it.
I'm too sober.
Better to start drinking.
Yeah, let's get this party started.
And let me back up real quick. We have Mr. Liquid Bread Phillips.
YouTube star.
Why'd you have to back up on that,
Nick? Because
I left it out, man. I didn't want to short you.
Well, you fuck that shit.
All right, Chris, waste no time.
Dropping the F-bomb. I'm sorry.
All right, so on my screen, we're starting with Ricky. So, Ricky, what are you drinking?
So, I am drinking an Upslope craft lager. I took it as basic as I could, and I was standing at the store the other day thinking about how I wanted to do this, and I thought, you know, let's just go as basic as possible and get something that is simple, clean, fresh, easy to drink, low in alcohol, and that's what it is. It's just got a really, really nice aroma, and they use Seau's hops. And it's got just almost like a cracker bready flavor, and just it lingers a lot longer than I expected it to. But Upslope's fairly new to Arizona. They've been here for about a little over a year, and this is one of their best. They make three or four different beers that are pretty solid, but this is probably their best or their second best. Cheap too. It's like $1.99 a can, and just really thick and good. It's light, fresh, and it hit 100 degrees today, so it was 101, so it was hot when I came home and
rubbing it in.
I got a question. So is there a style that's just called lager?
All right.
I know you got, like, you know, you got an American adjunct lager, you got, yeah, you know, you got a Pilsner, which is a lager, you got Doppelbach, which is a lager. Is there something just called lager? Because I see, and I know Upslope isn't the first brewery to do it. A few other breweries have craft lagers.
Yeah, it's divided in three. It's light lager, amber lager, or dark lager, and then you have all the other styles of lager.
Okay.
So well, see, on the side of the can, it says lager yeast, too, so I wonder if that's... I don't know much about yeast, but...
It has to be lager yeast to be a lager, yeah.
Yeah, it has to be cold yeast.
Cold yeast, yeah.
So when they just say craft lager, Ricky, can we see your beer real quick?
I mean, I guess it's no different than them saying it's a craft ale, right?
I mean, but even if does anybody just say craft ale?
No.
Well, not. I guess not just craft ale. They're usually like it's a red ale or something like
right,
that.
Right, right. But that one just says craft lager. So I think it's reasonable maybe to assume that if they say craft lager, they meant craft light lager.
I would say or a clean lager. Yeah, I probably, if you just say lager, it's probably. But see, the thing is, Yngling only calls their beer lager, but it's more like an amber lager. You know.
I thought Yngling was a Vienna lager.
Maybe it's a Vienna or Munich lager.
Okay.
But they don't disclaim that.
They don't call it that.
Right.
That's what I mean.
Okay. So Ricky, would you buy that again? I mean, would that be a good go-to summer beer?
Sounds oh, yeah. Like it. Yeah, 100%. I mean, it's got the finish just lingers forever. And, I mean, for a beer that's you wouldn't expect it to, it's just like, I mean, you go in and, you know, and like Bud Light, like, I mean, and I was talking to you about this before we went on air, like Bud Light, if somebody is only a Bud Light or a Coors Light drinker and they want to get into craft beer, this would be like hand them a can of this and say this is your gateway into this style potentially, and it's a similar style to a Coors Light or a Bud Light, but yet it's craft. And
show up the glass. If it's a clear, like more, it's then it's an it's a style. See, there's a style called American Lager that most beer are. Yeah,
it's not as clear as you might think that it would be. It's kind of cloudy a little bit, but I mean. Yeah.
Okay. What's that?
I bought two, and the other one was 5.5. 4.8. So it's
okay.
Yeah, talking about it being a summer beer, no question.
Straight sessionable right there.
Yeah.
There we go. You got to like pick them off the shelf and pick the high ABV ones. It varies from 4.8 to 5.5, Ricky.
I got a long night ahead of me, so I needed to start low and work my way up.
But I like a beer where there's some variation in the ABV. So you got to be fun picking them out there.
All right, Lola, what are you drinking tonight?
I have never had this. It's called Gilded Age, and it's from Two Henry's Brewery. It's in Plant City, Florida. I got it when I went to Orlando. Okay. So a lot of beers I've never heard or seen that I got in Orlando. I'm probably not much of a lager fan. I mean, I haven't had that many, but when I taste this, it's a little tepid. But that may not be the brew's fault. I mean, it may be following style. That may be just the way the style is. It's just a little bland, but it's not bad. I can tell it's decently made.
Is it does it say what type of lager it is on the can, or?
I think yeah, it does.
It's a pilsner.
Wait, let me go to Rate Beer. I have Rate Beer up.
It's a pilsner.
Oh, Gil looked it up already.
Yeah check it's a pilsner.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what did you say about the flavor that doesn't seem to necessarily be agreeing with your palate?
Well, it's kind of bland.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it may not be the brewery's fault. They're probably following style. It's kind of meh.
Yeah. I think if you don't like intentionally make it a point to try to get into lighter lagers, and if you usually just drink, you know, a lot of ales, a lot of IPAs, or you know, just a lot of more flavorful beers, when you do drink a lager or whether it be a pilsner or a light lager or whatever, it's automatically going to initially probably come off as bland to your taste buds.
Yeah, and it's not their fault. It's just I'm used to bigger beers.
Yeah.
I think it's well made. Now, Rate Beer doesn't feel the same. Rate Beer gave it a 44. 79, yeah, bad.
That's a dream pour.
Wow.
79 to the style, though, so I guess maybe they just don't like pilsners.
Man, if you're gonna drink based on Rate Beer, beer advocate, you might just not drink at all.
I mean, but I know, but I'm saying a 44, that's pretty bad.
That is pretty bad, yeah. Some people really don't like it. But it's a 4.5%.
Well, it depends. ABV. There's how many people revealed. There's only 5 people revealed. That's...
It's 2 pages worth, so
okay.
Yeah, it's a good number, and they all give 3.1, 2.8, 2.7.
So it's a pretty bad beer then, basically.
That's what they.
Again, I'm gonna say it again, for this kind of style, it depends who drinks, because a lot of craft beer drinkers are ale snobs, and when they drink something that is not their usual thing, they just think, ah, this is like straw-like taste and it's too light and it's you know, I'm just
ale snobs. That's new. I've never heard of ale snobs before.
I haven't either. I mean, it's not like it got a 74. It got a 44, man.
44. Although I've seen 9 before. There was a Spanish beer I drank that had a 9.
9.
Yeah, and it was horrible. It was a drain pour. Sorry, Spain, but it really was.
Sorry, Spain.
Tap water in Spain is at least a 5.
No, I would probably be able to drink tap water, maybe. I couldn't drink this.
Exactly.
That's funny.
All right, Jeffrey, what up?
Yeah, so you know, from that kind of light Helles lager, I'm sort of at the other end of the spectrum here. So I'm drinking Schneiderweisse
Adler. Swung for the fences.
Yeah, you know how I roll, man. This is, you know, and I love this brewery so much. It's my favorite German brewery. I've been there many times.
And that's the best beer, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's their most unique beer. I like Tap 5 best, but this is, you know, so this is a great beer. This is it's 12%. So this is basically their Tap 6, which is their Aventinus, Unser Aventinus, which is a Doppelbock. And they, you know, they freeze it to crystallize it to dewater it a little bit, so it raises up the ABV, and you're left with all the malt and all the aromatics, but less water, basically, you know. So it, you know, sometimes I've had them where it's like almost black. This is, you know, I would say it's a dark brown. You know, it's very turbid because it is a 60% wheat malt beer, so it's, you know, it's always going to have yeast in it and a little bit of cloudiness. But, you know, when I poured this thing at the beginning of the show, it was a head like this, like five fingers, and it, after about 10 minutes, it subsided. But, you know, you get huge, like, raisins, plums. It's super malty. You still have some sort of, you know, like, typical Hefeweizen banana and clove, but it's really sort of more dominated by, you know, by the malt and these kind of dark raisin and I would say like plum notes, but it's a great beer, and it's you can't drink too many of them. It's typically like what I would say a dessert beer, so I would this would be my cleanup beer, but I wanted to make sure I got it on the mic, you know.
That beer is gonna put you on your knees in no time.
No, it's not. Don't worry, man. I'll be around for the duration. I got this.
Tell them what's the ABV.
It's 12%. So yeah. So for a lager, I'm not aware of any lagers that are higher ABV than this, but this is 12%, but totally drinkable. It's not boozy at all. So I agree with what Gil said. If you just sat down and you could session two or three of these and probably not realize what you just did to yourself, and then you fall off your stool and break your nose. But it's good beer, solid beer.
It drinks like a quad.
Yeah, it's not, you know, it's not as I don't know. It's it's pretty big mouthfeel, so it's a little bit heavy and chewy, especially for a lager. You know, so it's not something you're just gonna pound, but it's drinkable.
And that particular style of lager was initially discovered. It was a mistake, right?
Folklore says it was a mistake.
Yeah. No, everybody kind of, I don't know if it's folklore, but everybody agrees that they had some, you know, barrels of Doppelbock that got accidentally frozen in transit, and they poured off some of the liquid below, and they said, "Damn, this is pretty good. Das ist gut, you know. Das ist die Eichbock, yeah, yeah.
That's yes! It was like we left this beer out, bottle it anyway.
Yes.
Sell it anyway.
Well, what I mean, the folklore is like they say that one of the younger, you know, monks, he was his job to collect the barrels, but he had a little too much and he forgot it.
You had one job.
You had one job and you forgot. He decided to drink, or they make him drink, and it was actually pretty good.
He could have accidentally invented vulcanized rubber or icebox, and he made the right choice. He chose icebox. So good job, little monk.
They made him drink it, and he was like, "This is terrible. I'll take it all to my. I'll throw it away."
And that's one of the beers.
Kansas City Lager.
And that's one of the beers, you know, among other beers that people talk about lagers, and sometimes they forget all the kinds of lagers. I think there's more than 15 styles of lager, maybe more than that. And that's one amazing style of lager. That's their beer is like you could drink pair to pair with a quad or any other thing.
Yeah, you know, and that's kind of my point, Gil, is, you know, we are more sort of ale snobs, as you said, in the U.S. craft beer scene. But, you know, saying lagers, that's like splitting, you know, fish and, I mean, plants and animals. I mean, there's so many varieties of lagers. So, you know, and I think it's our job to help people understand that there is a lot of variety. Just because it's a lager doesn't mean it's, you know, piss.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Freddie.
Swiss malt liquor bull.
Freddie, what you drinking on tonight, man?
I'm having a Jack's Abbey Hoptonius Union.
So good. Lager. That's a good one.
It's money, dude. You know, big yeah, tropical notes beer. On that. It's kind of like, you know, the mouthfeel. You get it's like prickly a little bit at the beginning. You get that creaminess, real clean finish. It's solid, man. I mean, the things. It's the aroma on this is just incredible.
Yeah, I was just,
lager. Like you guys are talking about how the lager people think like, this is a like complete opposite spectrum to like a bland lager or like these yeah. regular pale lagers.
I remember.
Don't they have a specialized in lagers though, or not really?
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, a Jack's Abbey, yes. Yeah, all lagers.
I had that beer, and if I had like closed my eyes and tasted it, I could assume that it was an IPA. If I remember correctly, like it's definitely hoppier than your normal lager.
Oh yeah, I think towards the end this beer really shines, like just in mouthfeel alone, like that. Like you get it's like real prickly at the beginning, then it's like this like real subtle creaminess, and boom, it's like just crisp and yeah. dry. It's so good.
But their brew is like no Glarus. I mean. Look, their lagers are just amazing. I mean, it's such an awesome beer.
I don't know about Spotted Cow. I will for all day on that one. But
yeah,
I haven't had too many of new. I think I had what was it called, like Fat Squirrel and Two Ladies, or Fat Lady and Two yep. Squirrels?
That's right. One's a brown, I think, and one's okay. I don't remember what Fat.
Oh, the two. Wait, Fat Squirrels are brown, and Two Ladies is a lager, right?
Yeah, maybe. I think they do all their stuff as all lagers and.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, I don't know. There's a lot of people that get busted nut over their new Glarus. Some of their stuff is, if you like the sweet stuff, their sweet stuff is sweet for sure.
Yeah, their Serendipity is like sugar high.
Yeah, I all their like strawberry rhubarb and all those other ones, those bombers they've got. It's like Capri Suns in a bottle. I mean, they're just like damn. It's like they're pretty sweet. There's a lot of people like them. I'm not a big huge fan, but the Spotted Cow is their keystone beer, and man, that thing is it's like crack. It's like Oberon in Wisconsin. I swear, it's like, and I'm not. It's to me. It just tastes like a kind of a hefty bud or something like that. It's just yeah.
Okay, well,
it's a cream ale though, which is weird because it doesn't really taste like a cream ale. It just tastes like a regular straight up lager. But
okay,
their brewery is so beautiful. I mean, they did the. It looks a little. Austrian or German kind of a village scene in the middle of Wisconsin.
Makes sense. That's all Wisconsin is all that German, type of brewery, type of, what do you call it, essence, Miller and all that other stuff that's up there, yeah. Old school.
Okay. Charlie Dunkley.
What's up, Randy?
What drinketh thou? What filleth thine cup?
I have a Wagner Valley Amber Lager. Whenever I look it up, it just says Dockside Lager, but I don't see Dockside anywhere on the bottle, but I don't know if they've redesigned it.
Okay.
It is apparently a Vienna Lager.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Amber, I guess, is a proper name for it.
Mm. Well, I know how you feel about Sam Adams, which is a Vienna Lager.
This one's not that bad. Now, Boston Lager, I mean, it's a quality beer. It's just I can't drink it. It's a drain pour for me personally, only because there's some ingredient in that beer that just doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
This one is drinkable. Now, I'm going to have to revisit this at another night because I actually had 2 6-point Bengalis. Shortly before the hangout, so
wow. Yeah, sure.
Fresh. So if drinking a 6-point Bengali is what enables me to drink Vienna lagers, I may have to try that before Sam Adams Boston Lager next time to see what it does. But this one's not bad. It's a bit on the sweet side for me.
It's a chaser.
But it's actually not too bad.
Charles,
this could be a I would say a gateway intro beer for somebody on the macro lager side. I'd give them this a try.
That's pretty dark for a Vienna lager, though.
Actually. Oh no, Vienna lagers are kind of malty and dark. Like they have to have the caramelly kind of.
Well, how dark is like Sam Adams Boston Lager? Isn't that kind of on the darker side or no?
Not like that. Yeah,
it's pretty amber.
Charles, so you saying you need a hype man to drink Vienna lagers?
I think so. I'm gonna have to experiment.
That's unfair. That's unfair. If he if that's the only other Vienna lager he has ever tried, other than
I've had a couple of others. What is it? Elliot Ness. I think is that a great Vienna lager? And that one I gave like 3 stars on Untappd. It was okay.
Not 3.25 stars.
Yeah. Nope. It's but the two lagers that are like really like it's Sam Adams Boston Lager and Great Lakes Dortmunder. Those two are I can't drink them. There's just whatever is in those two beers, and I recognize they're well brewed beers, but they just don't work for my palate. So now I'm gonna have to experiment. I'm gonna have to get one of each and have some Bengali lined up, and then taste the two before, and then have some Bengali, and then taste them again. I'm gonna do a little mini experiment on my own now.
Right.
But this one's not so bad.
That's something I want to bring up, and maybe I'm just going to throw it out there, and you guys call me a dumbass if you want, but I'm going to throw it out there for you guys to discuss. But there's a...
Can we do it even if you're right?
Yeah, I don't
know. Definitely. We're going to call him a dumbass regardless.
It's not really a right or wrong thing, but just to give you a little bit of a scenario, there's a brewery that opened a few blocks from my house. It's a real small thing, and all they do is German lagers. And we went there and had a flight of their beers. They had a French toast beer, which was really actually kind of cool. But as we started drinking other than that one, we started drinking the other ones, me and my buddy. The to me, and I'm looking at it right now, because I had to actually look up Vienna Lager to see what the hell a Vienna Lager was, because I'm not familiar with the lager side of the fence.
Because you're an ale snob.
Shut up!
I like ales too.
No, I like lagers, but I think what the problem is that the gradient between the lightest, least characteristic flavor, whatever you want to call it, lager, and the most extreme is really kind of vague. You know, the gradient is kind of all blended together, where on ales you can go from a really light session IPA or pale ale or something like that all the way up to like hardcore bourbon barrel aged stout or something stout. I think it's just really...
Because the easier, cheaper to experiment. I mean, making lagers is not that easy.
Yeah,
well, right. I understand that, but my point is, let's say, regardless of the difficulty of brewing a beer, the actual if you had no difficulty in brewing any lager, you were a freaking chief master brewer of lagers. If you got as creative as you could, even though you did that creativeness, the spectrum is still. Maybe my palate sucks, but I have a problem telling the difference between like a Kolsch and a
light lager.
Yeah, it's like I look at my buddy and I'm like, can you tell me the difference in these two beers? And he drinks them both. He's like, no.
Yeah, but
I'm like, that's a Hefeweizen, and I know that. You know, that's an ale though.
But Chris, you wouldn't have a problem telling the difference between say a Kolsch and a Doppelbach or a Kolsch and an Eisbach or a Kolsch and a Baltic Porter.
Right. I mean, you're right. You're right there. But
I understand what you mean. When you go on that wheat kind of Kolsch, Vienna, and those that the wheat taste is very very similar. It is hard. It's very small. The difference between them anytime.
Like, yeah, I think Chris, in that like center strike zone of German lager styles, a Helles lager, Vienna lager, Munich lager, Dortmunder export lager. You're right. It's a pretty tight strike zone. But you got to remember, this is Rheinheitsgebot Germany, where that's all they had was lagers. So they can probably tell a difference. But it's pretty narrow.
That's a great point. That old damn German purity law. So I'm looking right now at the Vienna lager, and at the bottom it bleeds into Oktoberfest, and they both are. I'm like, I can't tell the difference between the two.
Well, Machten's Oktoberfest and Vienna lager are almost the same. The variation is almost gone.
One's 3A, one's 3B on the BJCP style guidelines for 2008. I don't know why I pulled up a 2008 page.
But. Yeah, that's every time I do a BJCP search, I get 2008.
They always that comes up.
But I think. The lager spectrum, like you have like 3 sections on the spectrum. You got light lagers, and all the flavors are very similar. Then you got like the amber type lagers, all the flavors are really similar. Like Jeffrey was saying, where you got like Marzen, you got Vienna lager, like the Munich, all those are right. really similar. And then you got another side where you got like
what?
And I think I'd group these together, like Doppelbox, Baltic Porters, Icebox. So it's like three different chunks, but within each Baltic chunk, there's a lot of similarities.
I would even put the Baltic Porter on a fourth category, like separated from everybody else, because you have more, you know, the box, the double box, and that you have more a malty, raisiny kind of taste, dark fruits. The Baltic, you go more into the roast kind of flavors, you know.
Yeah. Well, the point is, so each like chunk, the flavor profiles are so similar. Like it's kind of hard to tell, Chris. To your point, hard to tell what you're drinking from the other one, right? They all taste the same. Yeah. I think that's a real good point. I mean, ales. I mean, there's a clear progression, I think, with ales.
But that's a little bit because for some reason people are afraid to experiment. Why not making a hoppy lager?
Well,
there's nothing to stop you.
Wait till you get to my beer because I'll talk about my brewery in a second. So,
well, Victory does it with Prima Pils. Firestone does it with Pivo Pils. Jack's Abbey does it with Hoponius Union.
And Prima Pils is amazing as style goes. I mean, it's excellent, you know, example of American ingenuity when it comes to making beer.
Gil, what are you drinking?
Oh, against a view. Different from you guys, I love Vienna lagers, and I'm drinking a Vienna lager today. And this is the first time I'm having this beer. I brought this from Texas with me. It's from Lakewood Brewing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, nice.
And the reason this one actually was given to me by Antonio.
Burunda?
Yeah, Antonio Burunda, awesome guy. And it's 4.6%. On the alcohol, but it's your typical Vienna lager. You know, you get a lot of the caramel, the biscuit. There's not much. I mean, it's a very good example. They did a really good job, and the taste is on the same biscuit taste and a little bit of toffee, caramel, and stuff like that. I think it's excellent. I love Vienna lagers. I think I don't like sweet beers. I'm like Chris Phillips. When I had the strawberry rhubarb and I had the serendipity, I wish I had somebody with me, because I almost didn't make it. It was awesome on the first glass, you know, the first half of the bottle.
Yeah, it gets too chlorine.
The second half was a struggle for me to get through. It was just, like, too much.
Yeah.
It was hard to drink that beer. It's not sweet. It just has that semi-sweetness to it, and I think it's just great. Nice ABV and on a summer day. I personally, you know, like Yngling. Yngling is a beer that I drink with no problem.
Dingling.
And you know, my friends all buy. It's funny because a lot of them buy Yngling to tease me because they know I like craft, and I haven't told them yet that Yngling is craft.
So I like don't tell us either, okay?
Yeah, I think Yngling is an excellent beer. I like it. So I like lagers.
Yeah, I like Yngling.
I might be a minorist. I like lager beers. I like, you know, I like Box and I like Baltic Porters. And I like the straw-like kind of a German-style beer as well. It's not something that you can drink all the time because it gets
boring.
Boring. And it gets, but it's a style that I like to shuffle in all the time. It's not a style that I just disregard it, that I say I'm not drinking this. I will always have some kind of lager on my
It's a good change of pace.
Yeah. You know, and that's actually one thing I thought of, you know, this week. I mean, shopping for this thing, it's like, you know, I bought, you know, four beers that I would never buy normally. So I'm kind of glad of this rotation to forces us to, you know, get out there. There are good beers, you know. Don't have a preconception that all lagers are boring.
Another thing people have to remember, that the idea that most people have about lager, this light, this light American lager. This is only like a 20th century thing. You know, most lagers were a little heavier and darker until refrigeration came around. And I think was during the, like, I think Czech Pils was the first ones to be a little more light. But
all right. I'm sorry, go ahead. You were about to say something else?
No, I just say I enjoy lagers on all kinds and styles. I like to experiment with them. The only problem is more often than not, I don't like a lot of them because they're not well made. They're just, I don't know, narrow-minded sometimes, a lot of the breweries. But there's a lot of good ones out there. And we you just said the Prima Pils here from Victory, near the house here, they're excellent.
Yeah.
I think that's why I enjoy Jack's Abbey's, because, you know, they get, you know, they go crazy with these lagers. I mean, they have all types of ingredients.
They're almost like the dogfish head of the lager world. Yeah, like, they'll try anything.
Yeah.
I think that's a sign of a really good brewery, when they can take a style that's common and make it exceptional.
Or if you can take several different styles and brew them all well, like Founders.
Yeah, the other thing is, you have to remember, a lot of those styles are brewed with, with noble hops, which have very low alpha acids. So they don't, you know, they're different from big, bold taste Amarillos and, you know, like that. They're more subdued, you know. The noble hops are not as strong.
More aroma than anything.
More aroma, yeah. And the alpha acids are very low. They're very gentle, if that's the correct word, when it comes to hop world. Because we are big in hops, more flavor. You know, people are trying to create new styles, new hybrids and stuff that are very much more flavored than we would get on most noble hops.
All right. Chris, what are you drinking, my man?
I am drinking this brewery brews all lagers. They don't brew anything else. And I am drinking an Imperial Dark Lager aged in bourbon barrels.
Wow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What's the brewery, guys?
Yeah, I thought I was lying.
He was not. No, he was straight up. I'm trying to let this thing warm. This is Wolverine Brewing Company out of Ann Arbor, Michigan, home of the Wolverines.
Hey. I love the name already.
Yep.
If you guys ever get up this way, this is another brewery in Michigan that just doesn't get out of the state at all. So unfortunately, no one can get it unless you come up here.
Hey Chris, can you hold that up one more time?
Hold the bottle up too, Chris.
Bottle up is Massacre. I'm sorry. The actual name of the beer is Massacre. It is by Wolverine Brewing Company.
You see there. Okay. Cool. Yeah, I'm not sure I've ever heard of a bourbon barrel aged lager. You know,
yes,
so that's pretty wild.
Well, and they also make a double Imperial India lager. They also make a triple Imperial pale lager. They also make a barista coffee lager. Whatever you can do with an ale, they're doing lagers pretty much. I mean, obviously the mouthfeel of the beers are a little on the lighter side, but like this beer right here, if I serve this to somebody and said, hey, check out this bourbon barrel aged ale got, they would be, oh, it's kind of on the lighter side, and they would just kind of blow it off. And then I tell them it's a lager, and then they're blown away. I've had their IPL, and I'd be hard-pressed to pick it out amongst a bunch of IPAs. It's that damn good.
Yeah, there's a few brewers doing IPLs. I wish that they were more available.
Yeah, they make a ton of beers. I mean, they're all lagers. They decided, a couple of guys got snowed in, in a guy weekend trip, basically, and they talked about trying to make some gateway beers, you know, try to get people more into craft beer, and they decided to just go straight up lagers, and they have, like, hit home runs. The first couple beers I've seen in beer stores aren't all that good because they're kind of, they're like a golden lager, I think it's the actual base beer for this beer. It's just a dark lager. But when you go to their brewery and have some of their beers, I mean, they have a Gulu Cubed Imperial India style pale lager, and that thing is just, it is so clean tasting because it's that lager, you know, base, you know, that lager lightness, but it's full of hops. It's still got enough of that hop and a little bit of that malt still to just make you freaking just pee a little bit. I mean, it's fucking good.
So here's the thing. From a technical aspect, the only difference between ales and lagers is the yeast, right?
It's cold fermenting and top versus bottom fermenting.
The one has top fermenting yeast, one has bottom fermenting yeast. That does its job optimally at different temperatures, right? So the point I was trying to make is that, I mean, Chris, you said that these guys are doing all kind of crazy things with lagers, and that kind of dovetails with what Gil said, in that people kind of need to be open-minded with it. And if the only difference is the yeast, there really should be, you should, why aren't people doing the exact same, more people doing right. the exact same thing with lagers as you can do with ales?
Well, a little bit that you have to, your system has to be constructed to do more lagers. You have, if you're focused on lagers, because there's refrigeration, there's a bunch of, you know, other things, and most breweries don't have that structure, you know.
Well, if you can brew a lager, period, then you can do anything with a lager. I mean, your system must be set up to some degree to lager beer if you're making a lager.
Right, but maybe a small batch here and there if that's not your, you know, everything you do. Yeah, it's
so.
Can I just say that I just flashed a Willy Wonka and like one of their songs where it's like, you know, anything you can do or you can do something better. In my head, it was funny.
It was the world of pure imagination.
That song. So
you guys are talking about that. They do a brown. They do a pumpkin spice lager. Again, I talked about the coffee one. They do a Harvest Deluxe wet hop lager. I mean, they're basically doing everything that all breweries are doing. They're just doing it on the lager side.
I like that direction, though. I mean, you know, you got guys that specialize only in sours, like Crooked Stave and Jaster King. I mean, I'd like to see more breweries just really hitting lagers and just, you know, like Jack's Abbey and this Wolverine, and just seeing how far they can take it.
But see, Randy said something in one of our shows about niche. Remember one time we were talking about finding a niche? And I think in a crowded, market right now, I mean, not that it's saturated, but it's pretty crowded, you have to agree. You find one style and be good at that style is better than just doing everything.
Yeah. How many IPAs from the new startup craft brewery do you need to try? You know, I mean,
It's so weird. Go ahead, Chris.
Well, I was just gonna say it's weird because that German style brewery here over here by my house, I'm not a big fan of the beers they brew just because they're all German style lagers, and they are packed every night. And Arcadia is just down the street. Arcadia's been around since the '90s. And Arcadia is still busy and stuff, but it's amazing this brewery just popped up out of, in an old pizza, you know, building, a pizza place, and they're just packing the house with these lagers. And I think it's because people that aren't into craft beer yet are able to go there and enjoy
more
beer.
Accessible for them.
Yeah, it's their gateway drug. They're putting the proverbial IV tubing around their arm and hitting them up with a heroin shot with the craft beer. So
I'm gonna tell you this: if I'm a brewery and I'm gonna experiment with small batch lagers, I am not gonna waste my time making a small batch light lager.
Right.
If I'm gonna make a small batch of lager to experiment, I'm doing something stupid with it. Yeah. So, I mean, some breweries seem to have a light lager just for the sake of having a lager.
Jack's Abbey's doing sour lagers.
Oh wow! Wow, that's different.
Yeah, they have their first.
Yeah, but Randy, you know, any craft beer bar you ever go in, somebody comes in and they say, hey, can you make a recommendation? And the bartender says, what do you normally drink? And they say Miller Lite or Ultra. I mean, so, you know, you need a Helles lager, a light lager on a tap just so the person can drink something.
Right. Yeah, but what he's saying is that if he's just brewing anything in general.
Yeah.
Well, one, if he's going to take one shot at a lager out of his ale.
That's not going to be it.
Right.
It's going to be something. And that's, if you notice, a lot of breweries, what do they brew when they do that? They do an IPL.
Yeah.
Distiller, like a distiller from Founders.
Goze and Berliner Weissers. I've seen more and more as I travel around the country.
Yeah.
Most of them suck. Most of them suck. I mean,
most of them suck, but not all of them.
Yeah.
I just had one yesterday. That I thought was excellent, and and now Goze is not as common. You know, it's harder to find.
If I'm gonna have something on tap that's gonna cater toward the people who want a light lager, I'm not gonna waste the time and the equipment it takes to make a lager. I'll brew a cream ale and tell them this is the closest thing I can get to satisfying your Miller taste or whatever, or your Coors taste or whatever.
So. And you're a condescending, you know, brewery owner. I would never come back. You know, I mean,
why?
Give me something I liked. You know,
because I didn't brew a light lager for you.
Yeah, but like, many brewers are surviving things on the beginning. Yeah. You know, they need to get that crowd.
They need to get sales. You know, they want the guy to order
sometimes
three.
Sometimes it's a business decision.
Yeah. If you're not gonna come to my brewery because I don't have a light lager, kick rocks.
and again, it's your decision as a businessman, and that's all good.
How many breweries do you go to that have? I can go to 5 breweries around my house right now. None of them have a lager, and they're all those
people are up in Michigan drinking. That's why Chris is playing.
Well, I mean, I think and Gil hit on this. It's, I mean, you got to have the equipment to do it. It's you're already brewing ales, you got to have something that's gonna keep it at a 70 degree temperature. Now you got to drop that shit down to 50 or whatever. So.
Jeffrey said, take out a loan to keep that that once a month light lager drinker happy. take out a loan to modify your system. I'm gonna talk about my beer.
All
right.
Yeah, why don't you do that?
I'm gonna
get off your high horse. Just talk about your beer.
I'm an ale snob. I'm playing along the same lines as Freddie. I'm drinking Jack's Abbey as well, thanks to Freddie. Drinking their Framingham Baltic Porter. This beer really does drink like it's an imperial stout. I mean, when you drink this beer, nothing about it says lager. It's 10% ABV, 55 IBUs. First of all, how many lagers outside of an icebox is gonna have that type of ABV, right?
11.5, baby, right here.
Yeah. Okay.
11.5.
Well, those guys right there are brewing lagers, but their soul screams ales. But so this is the beer I'm drinking right now.
That's nice. Yeah, that's like
that's a good beer.
Nice.
You can't see through this bad boy at all. As you can imagine, the head dissipated pretty quickly because it's such a high alcohol content. But on the nose, it smells like a stout. It drinks like a stout. It even has the mouthfeel of not the mouthfeel of a big stout, but it has that stout mouthfeel, which is something you almost never get in a lager. So, you know, Jack's Abbey, they're, as Freddie said, they're doing some crazy things with lagers, and this Baltic Porter, man. If I was the
Baltic Porter is the answer to the stouts, you know.
Yeah. Let me ask you something. Yeah. Yes. So, you made me think here. Being a home brewer, I mean, I brew a stout. Let's say I follow an exact recipe of a stout, but at the end, I'm like, screw this. I'm going to put lager yeast in this thing.
That's exactly the point I was trying to make earlier, Chris.
Yeah, it should taste. I mean, yeah, it's going to taste a little bit different, but like this right here, this doesn't have that coffee note that a stout has. And this is a dark lager, but it's holding the bourbon pretty well, but it's not holding it as well as, you know, a stout would have. And I'm wondering why that doesn't have that coffee or that chocolate note, you know. Why doesn't it happen? I mean, anyone got any idea?
This is holding that coffee. Yeah, this is when you think Imperial Stout, the flavors you're used to with that beer. I'm tasting those flavors in here for sure.
Now, you guys have to remember that stout is a variation of porters, right?
What I was wondering.
It's such a big style that became bigger than the porters themselves. But, nice. Yeah,
this is Jack's Abbey's Imperial Baltic Porter, and it's sitting at a sessionable 15% ABV.
Well, the whole Baltic Porter thing's always confused me because a porter's an ale, but it's brewed with a lager yeast. So you're like, what is it? Is it
traditionally Baltic porters are lagers, but there are either hybrids or ale Baltics.
But all true Baltic porters are lager fermented, yes. Right? Mm-hmm. I haven't had that beer in a while at Framingham, but I had it a couple years ago, and a lot of Baltic porters are really kind of raisiny. I mean, you get this big kind of raisin flavor, and that one doesn't have it. It's more like a stout, you know, just kind of roasty and almost coffee-like almost. So yep. Yeah, I remember that being a great beer.
That Lagernes Monster is
driven by normally the Baltics, when they choose to call it Baltic rather than stout, is because it doesn't have that coffee or chocolate forward taste. It just has that roastness, grain, and you miss a little bit of the chocolate. Then they tended to lean more and call it about a porter. Now, when you go to Baltic porter, if it's a true Baltic porter, it is a lager traditionally.
Yep.
But as a lot of brewers, as we talked to Shane for 6 Point, he says screw style names. I call it whatever I want, as long as it's on the margin of error. So
here's what probably sets this beer apart from other Baltic porters that you may have had. They actually, and this goes to mouthfeel, they use oats in this beer.
Mm.
And they use brown sugar in this beer.
Yeah.
Ooh.
So Chris, your point, this is what you were talking about earlier.
Yeah.
If you can brew your normal imperial stout that you were going to make, and then just say, screw it, I'm using lager yeast. Yep.
Mm-hmm. I'd rather make an adjunct lager, throw some oats in there. Yep.
I think in the end, it's all about good beer, right?
Yeah. How does it taste? Who cares what it's called?
Have fun.
If you brewed an adjunct lager, I would come to your house. I'd wait till you went to the bathroom. I'd take your keg outside and pour it out.
If it's a lager,
well, I'm sorry. I thought you were talking along like rice, like American adjunct lager.
Yeah,
You in the ass.
let me trip Randy now. Your love and beloved brewery Stone had a brewery called Stone Bombastic. I think that was the name. And that was a lager.
I never had it.
Truly didn't last. I don't think they ever made again.
It was so popular.
Well, on a side note,
here was
when you're talking about adjuncts, sorry I'm dropping in last minute, but
who's this dude?
Yeah. Why is he breastfeeding?
There's a beer from the brewery that's modeled after the Mexican drink, like the horchata, and they do it. It tastes like cinnamon cream soda, and it's made with an insane amount of rice.
It is so good, though.
It's fantastic.
Soda.
What's the name of it?
Horchata. Horchata.
I've seen that. That just got released recently, right?
Yeah.
Is that the tequila beer?
No.
Oh, okay.
It used to be a Reserve Society member beer or a Provision Series beer or something, and they just now released it on their normal releases or whatever.
It's silly how good it is, though.
Doug, are you drinking a lager?
No, I'm drinking a nice Dogfish Head 120 IPA. And I've got a Bourbon County Stout in my French press with raspberries and cocoa nibs. So,
you're dead to us.
No water tonight.
Of course you do. It's Doug fucking Nolan. He knows how to roll. All
right, so let's...
Well, I thought about it because I had Baltic Porter and an ice box in the fridge, but I'm like, you know, I'm really kind of feeling the 120, so what the hell?
You just didn't want to play ball.
Does anybody else do ice box out of the Aventina? Who else does ice box?
Tune-in Brewing Company out of Warren, Michigan.
Yeah, they a couple people do.
Awesome.
Okay.
They do the one I have Eisbach.
Yeah, when we did Eisbach Night, somebody had one that was not... one that was not Aventinas.
The one I have is not Aventinas, and it's not cumin.
Is it turmeric?
Oh, my God. All
right. Anyway, lagers, final thoughts. Ricky, go.
I am not going to visit the style often, but it's something that when it's hot outside or it's something that I just want to grab something quick that's easy to drink that I can drink 4 or 5 of, it's a good go-to summer beer, and I'm glad we were able to talk about it. I learned a lot tonight, like just listening to a lot of the things that were going back and forth and different yeasts and stuff. I'm not gonna say I'm a fan, but it was a fun evening and I learned a ton.
Lola, go.
I think I would like the darker ones better.
Jeffrey, go.
I like playing around the fringes. I love the icebox. I love the Rausch beers, you know, Ochsen Carola, which I'm drinking now. So I think there's a lot of variety, especially in the German, you know, the kind of creators of lagering. So, you know, give it a chance. It's a good category. Don't dismiss it.
Freddy, go.
I think it depends what kind of lager you're having, man, you know. So it's whatever it suits you. You can have an IPL or Doppelbock, which I'm going to have next. You know, so it's depending.
That's another good one, too.
Yeah.
Charlie, go.
Well, I'm an ale snob, too, I guess. But if you go to craftbeernation.org, you can read an article I wrote last year about In Search of a Great Lager, where I dove into the style and tried a whole bunch of different ones and gained an appreciation. And Jack's Abbey really for me is the king of lagers right now. I mean, that's, if you want to see what people are doing with lagers, find that brewery. But I'll go for an ale over lager every time, but I do like exploring it. I do like these opportunities to really get back into the style and try new things.
It's like college where you experiment. You may not live that lifestyle forever, but for the moment you're like, oh, fine.
Too much information, Lola, as normal.
It was the moment. It was Friday night. And
officially, ale snob. Yeah. Officially, ale snob has become a thing.
I didn't mean it to be a bad thing.
Okay.
Stop it, Gil. It's a thing. It's a thing now. Ale snob. Gil.
What up?
Two nights in a row we had babies.
He's breaking the internet.
Doug, we had Tristan on last night.
Gil.
Gil. All right. I don't like lagers when we talk about light lagers. I'm not a big fan of light lagers. But I'm a big fan of lagers because I love Schwarz beers, as Jeffrey
said. Gil is a fucking lager racist.
Racist, yeah. I like Schwarz beer. I like Box. I like Dunkel. I like Vienna lagers. And, I mean, right here there's an amazing example of a great lager, right? Three Beans. I mean, if you haven't had Three Beans, I'm sorry, but it's you know, it's just an amazing style, and I'm very happy for the advent of IPLs.
I didn't know that was a lager.
I didn't either.
I thought it was just a regular porter.
That's a Baltic porter.
It's listed on a bunch of websites as a Baltic porter, but I don't know.
Yeah, the guy who brewed told us it's a Baltic porter, so we'll go with that.
His mama named Clay. His mama named Clay.
What up, Clay? What up, homie? What up,
Chris? Final thoughts, Chris.
Final thoughts. Gil is coming up with another name. It's awesome. Ale. What is it? Ale.
Ale snob.
Ale snob. Don't be an ale snob.
Ale snob.
So don't glass shame when you're ale snobbish. next, Wolverine. Like I said, you can if you're gonna brew lagers, brew everything and be like Randy said, be adventurous and brew some shit. Some good shit. Don't brew some, you know, running stuff. Right. And I've learned tonight, even though when I tried not to cuss, I still cuss.
The more you know.
You without you.
The harder you try, the more you cuss.
Exactly.
So my final thoughts kind of go along with what Freddie said. It all depends on what style of lager that you want. I tend to you know, venture toward the darker side of the lager house, unless it's hot outside in the summer and like Ricky said, I can get my hands like on a Helles lager or maybe even a Pilsner or whatever. They all have their place. It just depends on what it is that you're looking for. So that said, next week is what, Gil?
Oh, you had to ask me, didn't you?
Wheat
beers.
Yeah, wheat beers.
Yes. Wheat beers. So I'm sure I'll have a Dunkelweizen to survive next week or something like that. So
you gotta roll, man. You gotta roll.
That's another great style, man.
So be sure to join us next week. Where I mean, I think the wheat beer gambit is just as wide as lagers. I mean, you can go from Gozes to Berliner Weisses to Hefeweizens to Dunkelweizen to Randyweizens, whatever.
And we're doing Box the week after, so it's going to be a fun 3 weeks.
So be sure to join us next week when we talk about wheat beers. So thank you for joining us. Cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers.